Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Aeroshell Square and another one of our featured interviews. We're located right in front of Glacier Girl, the P-38 Lightning that probably is one of the most significant and historic aircraft that are flying, particularly in the Warbirds Department. The history of the Glacier Girl is extensive. Many of you have read about it. And I'd like to introduce to you Bob Carden, who is here from San Antonio, Texas. And Bob has been the driving force behind getting Glacier Girl number one out of the ice and number two into the sky. Bob, this has been a great project for you.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, for the past 16 years, I have been tied to this thing very closely, and it's just been an immense pleasure for me to do that.
First of all, how was Glacier Girl located? Did you have some sort of an idea of where she was and how she got there?
Well, we were the 13th expedition to go in search of the Lost Squadron, and the airplanes are actually located first in 1983. So from 1983 on through even today, it's using GPS. It's fairly easy to get into the area where the airplanes are located.
And the airplane actually was located in Greenland, about 14 miles south of the Arctic Circle.
That's correct. It's almost 14 miles inland, 14 miles south on the east coast, and it was 268 feet inside the glacier.
Now, that had to be an amazing feat in itself. How many ideas did you come up with to get the ice out of there in order to raise Glacier Girl, and did you have to wait for a specific season?
Well, yes, we do wait for the summertime, if there's any summertime in Greenland. The first month we were there, it snowed over 12 feet, and that was just in 3 or 4 days. When we get on the ice, we use radar to find the plane, and then now what we do is we steam a small probe hole to touch it, and then we set up and we melt a very large cavity. Okay, in years past, different techniques were tried. And they tried digging, they tried excavating with heavier equipment. None of that worked. And they found that melting is the easiest way to get down to these airplanes because you can convert the ice to water and pump it away.
So you also used hot water at one point, as I recall, and then you went to live steam, and then you pumped the melted ice out of there.
Right. We had a 900,000 BTU big giant hot water tank with us, and to heat the water that we were using to melt the ice.
So then you went down under the ice. Did you have any sort of idea of what condition Glacier Girl was in?
No, we had no idea what she was going to look like till we got down to it. In 1990, that expedition, I was with it, we did melt down on top of the B-17 Big Stoop, and we found that that airplane was totally destroyed, ripped apart. So we were expecting the worst here, but the P-38 being a stronger airplane, it can withstand more Gs. It has a smaller footprint, a smaller area. The ice didn't damage it quite as badly. So when we got down to it, the airplane was fairly intact, and we made the decision at that point that we looked at it that it was restorable, so we continued with the project.
So now you work your way down over 200 feet, almost 300 feet in fact, into the ice, and you excavate an area large enough to accommodate the wingspan, and then I imagine you rigged a gantry at the top in order to hoist the aircraft out.
Yeah, we pre-designed all of this stuff. We had a plan, and we made our gantry mechanism, and you know we melt our melting unit and everything. We got down to the plane, we used hot water, and we actually melted out a big room as big as what the airplane is. Then we sent the men down, we took it apart. Took the wings off, put the tail sections off, the tail booms off, the engines, props, and then we reduced the airplane down to the center section, which required us to make a 20-foot slot in the ground to bring it up.
So now you hoist up the individual pieces. You're still a long way from civilization. Did you have heavy-duty trucks or something to haul Glacier Girl out there in parts?
Well, we used the DC-3 to get most of the items off the ice. And then we had to rent a Sikorsky S-63 helicopter to lift the 7,000-pound center section off the glacier. And we brought that to Kulusuk, which is where our base camp was, and from there we put the pieces on the center section on a freighter, and we sent it over to Denmark, and then we had to ship it over on a different kind of boat to Sweden. Then we put it on a container ship, and it ended up in Savannah, Georgia.
So it was a long, circuitous route to get Glacier Girl back to the United States. One thing I'd just like to jump back to for a moment Would you mind filling in why Glacier Girl landed in Greenland?
Well, as we were entering the war in Europe, the main way we were getting all our munitions to the war zone was to put them on ships and sail across the ocean. The Germans sent out the U-boats, sunk the ships, were losing the war stockage. Hap Arnold, the general of the Army Air Corps at the time, came up with a plan called Operation Bolero. And simply speaking, those Bolero flights were flying the airplanes to England. And the route they were taking allowed them to fly across Greenland. And that's when these planes got into trouble. There were six B-38s, two B-17s, and as they were flying across Greenland, they ran into bad weather, they got lost, eventually ran out of gas, and they crash-landed on a glacier. After 11 days, the men were rescued, but the airplanes were abandoned there. After the first winter time, they got covered up with snow, never to be seen again, and forgotten. And then back in the early 80s, when warbirds became popular, the story of the Lost Squadron was well known, you know, in Greenland, and people heard about it and started searching for the planes. From 1980 to 1992, there was 13 expeditions in search of the Lost Squadron. Glacier Girl was on the 13th one. It was the first and only successful recovery of any of the airplanes from that operation. The 92 expedition has been the last one. Nobody's gone back since.
So really what drove it was the prices of warbirds, of course, started to escalate. And all of a sudden, it became price or cost effective to make the recovery. And still in a huge amount of expense involved in that recovery operation. The DC-3, I imagine, landed on the ice adjacent to where you had recovered the aircraft.
Right. We used the DC-3 on skis to bring all our equipment and people out onto the ice. We also had a little twin-engine Dornier on skis to do the same thing. We get on the ice cap on the 6th of May, and we left 14 weeks later on the 22nd of August with one complete airplane. During that period of time, we consumed over 6,000 pounds of food, and we actually had 38,000 pounds of equipment with us to do the job.
Was there any point at that in those early days, Bob, that you looked at the project as it was ongoing and said, wait a minute, this is too hard? Did that ever occur to you at all, or was it drive onward and upward?
Well, only one time did I, in a whole 16 years I've been with the project, that I have had a feeling like this is impossible. And that was the very first day I looked at the airplane. I was came down this 4-foot diameter shaft on top of the airplane, and all of a sudden there's a 50-foot airplane, saying, holy mackerel, how are we going to do this? And then I remembered a long time ago, I had heard the story. Guide said to me, when you get a difficult task, look at it like eating an elephant. You just do it one bite at a time. And that's what we did. We just attacked each issue each day, and, you know, based on what we did the day before.
So the recovery was completed literally one bite at a time as you brought Glacier Gal up from the ice. You were very extensively covered in the aviation magazines, publications, and also general media as well, very extensively. You then brought the aircraft back to the United States and the recovery process began. Tell us about the condition of the aircraft as she arrived here and the complete overhaul began.
Okay, well, when we got the plane back to Middlesboro, Kentucky, where we did the restoration, our plan was fairly simple. Since we wanted to fly it, we'd take the plane apart so we didn't find any more broken pieces, and then we'd fix those broken stuff, put it back on a plane and go flying. Well, the more we took off the plane, the more damage we found, and before it was over, we had the plane completely disassembled. We found that every single piece of the airplane was damaged in one shape or form, and when we got down to the very first piece of the main spar, we just turned around and started fixing them and putting them back together, and 10 years later, we went flying.
A lot of the leather items in cockpit trim were absolutely perfectly preserved, as I recall.
Oh yes, leather was good. The rubber, the tires we didn't use, but a lot of the rubber seals that you see on the airplane today were in the ice for 50 years.
That's absolutely amazing. How long did the recovery process take?
Recovery?
The restoration.
It was a 10-year process. So we started in October of 92, and we flew Glacier Girl for the first time in October of 2002.
And the pilot of that flight, none other than?
Steve Hinton. Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the finest pilots out there.
Mr. Warbird.
Just about everything. Mr. Warbird.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. You flew it the first time, and now it's an ongoing project to maintain the aircraft.
We have over 200 hours on the plane now, flying perfectly. If everything goes well, next summer, in June, we plan on recreating the mission that it was on in 1942 and actually fly Glacier Girl to England along the same route that they were using during the Bolero missions, end up in England at Duxford.
Bob, where is the foundation base now?
Okay, we're located in San Antonio, Texas, right at the main airport in San Antonio. And we have several warbirds in the collection, and obviously Glacier Girl is the crown jewel.
She's the centerpole.
Yes, she is.
You'll find just over to the right-hand side or to the left-hand side as you face the aircraft, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find a lot of memorabilia and souvenir items of P-38 Glacier Girl. It's one of the main ways that they're able to raise funds to keep this beautiful machine flying. It's been a 16-year dedication that Bob has applied to this airplane, and they're trying to keep her flying, keeping her in the sky. As you can see, a beautiful job of the restoration. It looks brand new. So please put your hands together for Bob Carden and the Glacier Girl. Thank you.